phasers for stun and prepare for warp speed. It's time for the We Got the Geeks movie talk.
X-Go, give it to ya. Wait for you to get it on your own. X-Go, deliver to ya.
Go get some.
You're gonna do a superhero landing. Wait for it. Woo! Superhero landing.
Yeah, that's really hard on your knees.
Totally impractical. They all do it. You're a lovely lady, but I'm saving myself for Francis. That's why I brought him.
I prefer not to hit a woman, so please play.
I mean, that's why I brought her? Oh, no, finish your tweet. It's not, that's fine. Just give us a second. There you go. Hashtag it. Go get her, Tiger.
Oh, I so pity the dude who pressures her into prom sex.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another exciting movie review, our first of 2016. It's Jay Stu here at the Geekery, and joining me for this review of the movie Deadpool, by the way, starring Ryan Reynolds, we have the lovely Sarah.
Hello, hello, everybody.
And the lovely Agent Daryl.
Lovely.
Flirt.
Cool. And
you.
And I'm really excited to be doing this because we kind of dropped the ball last year with our reviews.
We did an Ant-Man review 3 months late.
Yeah, something like that.
November.
Yeah, right around the time we reviewed Avengers too.
The last one I did too, but you know, things have been sort of topsy turvy. What else is new, especially everything? So.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. So we all had a chance to see Deadpool. I figured before, twice. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
And possibly a third time.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once is enough for me, but I will watch it ad nauseum once it's out on Blu-ray or Netflix or whatever.
Cool. So I figured before we jump into the review. First of all, I'm curious as to where everyone first became aware of the character.
Dead air.
Dead air.
Go ahead.
Well, I would have to say that I became aware of the character shortly after the creation of the character. I was a Rob Liefeld fan back in the day, in the early 90s, just before X-Force came out. I know that I didn't get the issue as soon as it came out because I remember seeing New Mutants number 100 with the final issue background and everything. It really caught my eye, and that's what intrigued me. I picked it up, and I don't know what to tell you. I was maybe 15 years old. For whatever reason, I fell in love with Rob Liefeld's art. Maybe because it was something that I could actually grasp, and because it's, let's face it, he's not... I don't want to disrespect the man or anything, but he's not necessarily the greatest artist that ever lived. Anyone who doubts that has only to read his Captain America run.
Oh, yeah.
And see how far that got him. But Rob's a good guy, and, he's responsible for creating some pretty sentimental characters, so I have to give him respect for that. I don't think he really had the clout that a lot of the other artists did when they picked up and moved to Image, but he was popular at the time, so I guess maybe he did have the clout, but history has shown he did not shortly afterwards. Deadpool, he's lucky to have Deadpool as a character that he created, I suppose.
Yeah.
He doesn't see it that way, I suppose, but whatever. So, yeah, that's when I first became aware of Deadpool, shortly after, probably the summer of 1990. Let's call it the spring of 1991, just before X-Force came out. And, I picked up a copy of New Mutants 98 a couple of months later, before his second appearance, definitely, which was in X-Force number 2. So, since the beginning, more or less.
Nice.
Between his first and second appearance.
Nice. I don't remember exactly where I first became aware of him. I know he used to show up in Spider-Man a lot, which I used to read. Yeah. I still do, actually. I remember reading...
Especially right now with his Deadpool Spider-Man... They've got an ongoing together.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I remember they had the Ultimate version showing up in Ultimate Spider-Man as well. Yeah. And I never really read a Deadpool comic until the last reboot a couple of years ago with Brian Posehn and Jerry Duggan.
That was a good one, yeah.
That was a great run. I loved it.
I followed the entire Cable and Deadpool run back in the mid-2000s there, which was written by Fabian Nicieza. And for the most part, was drawn, I think, by Patrick Zercher. And they'd worked together before on Thunderbolts, and I was a big fan of that book, so seeing both of these creators together again, and Fabian being the co-creator of Deadpool, or at least the scripting duties of the co-creator credit that he gets. He's got a natural voice for the character, obviously. Nobody would know better than the creator how to voice him. Of course, you know, people say that, well, Deadpool didn't really come into his own until his own regular series. Ed McGuinness drawn, and who wrote that one? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Was it Joe Kelly?
I think it was Joe Kelly, yeah. Yes, that's it. I've only read a couple of issues of that early run, the early regular Deadpool run. I've got like his first 9 appearances, though.
Oh, wow.
People don't really, that's not highly sought after stuff, though, because it's all those X-Force issues that were terrible. And that one Nomad issue where he crossed over in the Dead Man His Hand storyline.
Yeah. You and your Nomad, sir.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Nomad. I had every issue. I was not a big Daredevil fan or Punisher fan at the time, but I was a Nomad fan, and so I got Nomad. It was written by Fabian. And, so he included Deadpool, I think, in the 4th issue. And with the recent pansexuality debate about Deadpool, that was the issue that Fabe pointed back to, as being that this was the first evidence of Deadpool's pansexuality, his laissez-faire attitude towards sexuality altogether.
So, now how about you, sir? Have you had time to think about it?
I have had time to think about it, and I guess it's just been in the last couple of years, more specifically just this last year, that I've really come to know Deadpool and read the comics and everything, just fall in love with him.
Well, after the X-Men Origins Wolverine
yes.
appearance, which...
Oh, that... I saw that, and I knew of Deadpool even before that movie. I thought, oh, great. And then finding out Ryan Reynolds was going to be Wade Wilson, I was like, you know what?
I remember thinking
great casting.
Amazing. I love waiting and...
Yeah.
Van Wilder, Just Friends,
two
so
guys
many comedy
and a girl.
Roles that he does.
And a pizza place.
And a pizza, yeah.
You guys, girls, yeah, exactly. That was the first time I'd seen
him,
too.
He just has that, you know, that quality that made him a great casting choice.
I liked him in Blade Trinity.
I did,
too. Honestly, the movie itself is not great, but
no.
I thought his performance was one of the better ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And so to see him as Wade Wilson, and then they screwed it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no, I know enough about
fair.
Deadpool.
His Wade Wilson performance was good.
Yes.
At the beginning.
Because I understand at the end, that's actually recast. That's not even Ryan Reynolds as the Deadpool.
No.
Without a mouth. And I don't know if that was him just saying, F you guys, I'm not going to do that. That's not Deadpool.
Probably.
Which, you know, I mean, history, he'll probably look back and say, that's exactly how I felt.
Yep.
And that's probably why he didn't do it.
And that's why you get all the little one-shots in the Deadpool movie about sewing.
Oh, that's great. The action figure shot.
Yes!
But even still, when you go back and you rewatch X-Men Origins Wolverine...
Yeah.
His mouth is covered up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the Merc with the mouth. I mean, there's so many things that tell the audience, especially a Deadpool fan, this is not Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, everyone responded by saying, that is not Deadpool.
And that's
what
exactly
are these weird
that.
Things coming out of his wrists and lasers out of his eyes and teleporting, which, yeah, okay, early appearances of Deadpool, he had a teleporter, but it wasn't a mutant power. He had an actual teleporter.
That was my thought exactly was, that's not Deadpool, and I knew enough of Deadpool to know that, you know, the mouth on him was one of his endearing qualities, you know.
With the mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not quipping one-liners like, much like Spider-Man, except on a way more adult level.
Yeah.
Or a zanier level. He's kind of Marvel Comics' Bugs Bunny, you know, the way he breaks the fourth wall and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing I can think of is Ultimate Spider-Man, the cartoon, where he sort of addresses the audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's some of that Hulk Agency Smash, too, because the whole conceit is that it's a podcast and they're, you know, talking to a camera. I guess a video cast, not a podcast. Since we have no cameras here. But yeah, so I mean, Marvel's been experimenting with that sort of format for a little while. And of course, that's always been Deadpool's thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think personally that this movie is going to be like this is Fox's Guardians of the Galaxy, basically. This is their out of left field. Nobody saw it coming, except for the true believers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew Guardians was going to be a slam dunk. I knew that as long as they did Deadpool right, it was going to be a slam dunk, and they did it right. Mm-hmm. Some changes, but nothing big, nothing too dramatic. I've heard some grumblings about how Weapon X isn't as prominent as it should have been, but I think that was a conscious decision because Weapon X was such a big part of the original botched origin, and better just to just downplay it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing saying that that particular program that he was involved in there wasn't X, Weapon X. It's just from the perspective of Deadpool, he never knew it to be called Weapon X.
Exactly.
So it's still open to debate. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about the Deadpool thing, the universe, the setting of the movie is that it's almost, I guess I say it's Fox's Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's also their Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were able to minimize the scope to that single character and very, you know, pull it in nice and tight so that your focus is on this character, and they bring in Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
My wife absolutely fell in love with Negasonic there. She's just like, she's awesome. She was.
Now, they changed her powers, though, for the movie.
They did, and I think it was a good idea.
I think so, too. No, it would have... I don't think it would have had the impact had they left her original powers.
Which is just basically, from what I understand, not really anything distinct from, say, Professor X or Jean Grey.
Exactly. So by giving her that ability to blow things up...
Her name, of course, the word Warhead, you want something explosive.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've got a teenager who's, you know, kind of... She's in that wonderful, sulky, moody, teenaged phase, which was perfectly, you know, riffed on by Deadpool.
The going back and forth with Deadpool and Negasonic was just fantastic.
Oh, that's priceless, yeah. I mean, people say, you know, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the entire movie, all the best parts are in the trailer. Well, yeah, of course, all the best parts are in the trailer. But still doesn't take away from the fact that that's just a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, whether you see it in the trailer 3 months before the movie comes out or when you see it when the movie comes out, it doesn't matter. It's still good. I thought it was priceless. So it was great. Definitely the high point of the movie.
Yeah.
Colossus, I don't know if necessarily he would have been...
I liked him.
...needed to be there. He's a good character because he's an iconic X-Men.
Yes.
He's easy to recognize. Anybody who's read X-Men comics knows Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they want to get away from some of the more iconic characters that have had iconic actors, like Storm, played by Halle Berry, or Logan. Well, we can see technically that there was a Wolverine cameo of sorts with the paper mask.
Two cameos.
And I think it's deliberate that he wasn't in the movie, because he has been in every X-Men movie. And that's not necessarily a point of pride, considering some of those X-Men movies were not great.
No.
Last Stand and X-Men Origins.
Oh, no. X-Men Origins, I like.
And I don't think Deadpool is an X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't consider it an X-Men movie. It's part of the X-Men universe. But I think it could just... And, of course, I think it's not an accident that there were some blurred lines, if you will. Pardon my Robin Thicke-ism here. between the universes. Actually, there's a couple of points that I want to note on that also with a character sort of derivative of Deadpool, one of the many characters derivative from Deadpool. I think there's sort of a blending of universes there. I mean, the internet has essentially decided that was a helicarrier at the end of the movie.
And it was.
It was something. I didn't see it in the air, and I didn't see any turbines, so I can't call it.
I saw the turbines.
Did you?
I went and saw it a second time.
Okay.
I watched really closely, and I was like, holy crap, there are turbines. And the turbines are the shape of the helicarrier, the shield, and I was like,
then I have to rewatch it.
I was like, that really is a helicarrier, but they couldn't say, because that's for obvious reasons, obviously, but...
But there have been helicarriers in other aspects of the Marvel Universe.
And
it's a vehicle. It doesn't necessarily mean it. There's even a S.H.I.E.L.D. hero helicarrier. And we had Bob.
One
of my favorite characters from the Cable Deadpool run.
Yeah.
Hydra Bob, which I would have loved to see more of him, of course. I would have loved to see him be more distinctly Hydra, too.
Yeah.
But he was just a Bob from Jacksonville is basically what he was in the movie.
Yeah, and I like the way that Deadpool didn't kill him.
Yeah, he just knocked him out.
Like, you know,
save you for later.
We have a history. It's okay.
Just in case, you know, because you don't want to eliminate anything too quickly.
Yeah.
Because I think that was the big mistake that X-Men did with the early movies, especially with Last Stand, was killing off so many characters like Cyclops.
Horrible.
So you just wanted to free him up so that he could go do a god-awful Superman.
And no one cared in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know. Exactly. Scott's dead. Nobody gave a damn.
Yep. Mm.
But by the end of that movie, nobody gave a damn about anything because the movie was bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, but to this day, that Juggernaut is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. He looked like Ram Man from Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
He looked like Ram Man.
On
that note,
yes,
we're going to take a break.
Okay.
It's time to make the chimichangas.
Yay, chimichangas.
We'll be back to talk more about Ram Man, I guess. So stay tuned.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
All right, welcome back to our official Deadpool review. I'm here with Daryl and Sarah.
Hi.
It's Agent.
Agent Daryl, of course.
And the love of
your name, darling.
So we got to touch on this before we get to the actual review. So I guess Ryan Reynolds has been wanting to do this movie for like 11 years, he said.
10 years or something.
10 years or so.
A decade, yeah.
And for years we heard rumblings of a Deadpool movie, the script, and whatnot. And then just Fox wouldn't get around to it.
Yeah.
And then 2 years ago, that footage leaked.
The
fight and the
animatic footage. Well, basically, yeah, the big highway scene.
Yes.
I don't mind saying that that's a plot device that is getting a little old. After Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
After Age of Ultron. And I don't know. I mean, there's just been a lot of these highway overpass, Garden Expressway type looking battles.
Yeah.
And if you're from Florida, you know the Garden Expressway is just a raised highway sort of thing.
Yes and no.
For now.
I mean, it's been overdone, but they put such a great fresh spin on this one that I didn't mind it.
It was differently done, yeah. And yeah, there were the slow motion aspects. I think a lot of that can thank or is directly attributable to Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, yeah.
There were definitely scenes where it felt like it was Star-Lord's Milano, the inside, where, you know, the troll is floating around. And I got that sense when they're doing the super slow-mo camera pans and stuff. And I felt like that was Guardians of the Galaxy maybe just sort of opened the door for Deadpool, that visual representation of Deadpool.
Yeah.
So that footage they got leaked, the funny thing about that is I remember doing a news story 2 or 3 months before that footage came out where they finally said Ryan Reynolds is off the Deadpool project. And I remember, like, me and McNabb were, like, totally bummed because it was going to be
Deadpool.
Awesome, obviously, right?
Yeah.
He was the one good thing about X-Men Origins and Wolverine was that his Wade Wilson could get him.
And then that footage came out.
Ray of light.
And right away, they didn't say if it was Ryan Reynolds coming back. Like, so they left it hanging there a little bit. And
but it was him doing the voice work on that.
From
that, obviously.
And everyone was like, you better bring Ryan Reynolds back now because he was so awesome in that footage.
Yeah.
So thank God he's back.
Give the people what they want, and they will clamor for more.
Exactly.
And they did. And we're happy with what we got.
He's one of those guys.
Yep.
He was born to play this part.
Oh, yeah.
We were thinking
he's Canadian.
About,
that alone. But he is the essence of Deadpool.
Yes.
He's got that quick wit.
Yeah.
He is an action star.
Yeah.
He can do a fair amount of acting and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the part he was born to play.
It's nice to see him finally in a hit superhero or a hit comic book movie. It's like about his fifth comic book movie, I think.
I just watched R.I.P. PD the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? It's not terrible. I mean, yes, okay, obviously it's a bad Ghostbusters Men in Black ripoff. I mean, clearly.
You know what?
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. Maybe it was because I just love Jeff Bridges and he was still...
See, I love Jeff Bridges.
He had the Rooster Cogburn thing still going on.
Yeah, I love Ryan Reynolds, but I couldn't even make it past 10 minutes of the movie. I may give it another shot.
You know what?
It's got dead people and demons in it, so I was able to give it, you know, till the end. For me, it was better than Men in Black for that.
Okay.
Because that's really where my interest sort of lies.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out, though.
Uh-oh.
Extraterrestrial. He wasn't the worst part about Green Lantern. He was all right in that movie. And now that DC's doing this big reboot with the Justice
Agent
League.
Agent Carroll is all right. Not sure about that. Ryan Reynolds said he will never do another comic book movie. Deadpool. He'll come back for Deadpool sequels and cameos, but no other comic book character will he portray.
Yes. Yeah. So I think the Hugh Jackman to Wolverine as he is Deadpool.
Well, he has every right to say that because Deadpool, he totally knocked it out of the park with that.
Until
you know?
Another actor a generation from now, 10 years from now. And the great thing about Deadpool is as long as he stays in reasonably good shape, he'll be able to keep the character too.
Because he only is 40 years old.
You're not showing off your abs, you're not doing all that stuff. I mean, yeah, you gotta stay in reasonably good shape, but I mean why you want to talk about showing off abs? Ryan Reynolds loves to show off his abs.
And I'm not complaining about that at all.
And but
he has a great butt.
All right. Getting to the movie then.
Okay.
All right, I'll get off my Green Lantern tangent.
It had to be brought up.
It had to be brought up
in the movie. It's all tangential and I mean, Blade 3, what? Green Lantern. I guess there weren't any really overt RIPD things that I noticed.
No.
But that's not really an overt comic book story.
But there were so many little things that were in the movie that were homages to different people and skits and sketches and like when Wade and Vanessa are trying to one-up each other with the stories about how bad they had it growing up. That's from Monty Python.
Okay, yeah.
The Four Yorkshiremen. And it's the funniest Monty... I love Monty Python. So, and I thought it sounded familiar, and then I went and looked it up on YouTube just to refresh, and
it's almost line for line.
Almost.
Like the Ferris thing at the end.
Yes, and it was just the funniest. I love that homage to Monty Python because it just adds something. And, I mean, it's just, you know, and the fourth wall and all that, even though, I mean, Ferris Bueller was pretty much the first movie.
As soon as you see that end cap at the end, yeah, Chris.
That's exactly
what Ferris Bueller was. He was
exactly.
He was the Deadpool of the John Hughes universe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice.
I like it.
Nicely
take
done,
that,
sir.
Matthew Broderick, and run with it.
Yeah. You know,
wow.
I mean, it's not. It's just amazing that you know that they put all these little like the Deadpool board like. I never noticed, but seeing it the second time and then, but all
well,
the famous
Well, it was a better
names.
Explanation of the name than it was in X-Men Origins, with the Deadpool being...
I love the origin
suit.
Of the name from the Deadpool board. But,
a lot of work.
I mean, Bill Cosby's name was on that.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds' name,
T.J. Miller, Miley Cyrus.
Really?
So there was lots of stuff.
And actually, who else? Oh, yes, Rob Liefeld.
Okay, yeah.
His name was up on the Deadpool board in the movie, and I'm like...
And in those, and apparently he was in one of the scenes, or he's somewhere in the background. In the
oh, cool. Okay, yeah. So
I guess. I didn't see him. I did not... Apparently there was a mention of Chimichanga in the movie, but I missed it, I guess. Maybe I was laughing too hard.
Oh, he said it's time to make the effing Chimichanga.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess maybe I was just laughing so hard I missed it, but yeah.
No, before he... and then he talked about, you know, like, Keira Knightley...
Yeah, did
considered
you,
to play Cable because she's got range.
Did you guys read why they had him forgetting the guns in the cab?
Yes,
I saw something online about it. Yeah,
budget constraint.
Yeah,
so
but it worked perfectly. Yeah,
yeah, they had him forget the ammo
the
and
the cab
all
was
that.
Such an important part of the story from beginning to
Dopinder.
End.
Oh god, I love the cab driver.
Well, that's Ryan Reynolds said it. He used the name Dopinder because that was somebody he went to school with. and it was a character, and then it was like, oh my god, that's Wicked.
Cool.
So they gave that character that name, and it was just all these little bits and pieces.
Sue told me to tell you.
T.J. Miller was great as Weasel.
Oh, I love T.J. Miller, man.
I mean, and he did the voice of Fred in Big Hero 6.
Yep,
that's right.
Again.
And Stan Lee was his father in the movie.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yes.
And for Scott Adsit was the voice of Baymax. So there is a connection there. So hopefully we will see, hopefully in the future, an Agent Adsit. I'd like to see Brian Posehn himself.
Hoping for a cameo. I mean,
yeah.
He officiated at the wedding of Reed Richards and Sue Storm, so...
That's right.
He's actually already in the Fox.
Yep.
The Fox stable.
Oh, yeah. So it... Yeah. And we already touched on the fact that the final battle takes place on a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, but...
Well, a helicarrier. Not a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier.
I'm going to say it was a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, but they couldn't
concede that it was a helicarrier. And perhaps with the presence of Bob, it was in fact a Hydra helicarrier, which of course just makes...
Well, I mean, Hydra was...
In Strucker's
S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mind, if you're S.H.I.E.L.D. Stug, then you're Hydra Stug, and it's all the same.
Yes.
So, maybe that's what happened. Maybe they defected and went through a wormhole and found themselves in the Fox universe.
Know.
I really wanted something like that to happen, a Fantastic Four, so that everything would come together.
Yeah.
But I'm not a movie executive, and apparently I'm not a mover or shaker in Hollywood, so I can't make these things happen. But things are happening. I mean, Spidey's returned to the fold. I mean, anything is possible. And, if Fox makes money off Marvel properties, they can't really bear a grudge against Marvel. They're doing all right. And I think we're going to see, especially now with Bryan Singer coming to the end of his now second term as the grand architect of the X-Men universe.
Yes.
And thankfully he's seen it through to the end of his trilogy here instead of just walking off and doing a Superman movie like he did last time. And basically leaving rickrack for everyone to pick up and a writer's strike, which is also a big reason why X-Men Origins was not good, is because there was not really a lot of script for it. It was just go out there and do the best you can do.
Yeah.
It was a dark time back then, 2007. My wife and I were honeymooning in L.A.
Oh, wow.
When the writer's strike happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was the worst.
Oh, I bet.
It was, my sister, it was right after the wedding, my sister was supposed to go to Jay Leno and Ellen DeGeneres, and she had to cancel all these things because... No writers.
Oh, wow.
Entertainment as a whole just ground to a stop.
Yeah.
Think of all your favorite shows in 2008 or so. They either had a really, really short season or a really, really bad season.
Yeah.
That was the shortest season I think.
That's right. There wasn't a season of 24 that year because of the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a dark time. It was a dark time for geeks, for movie, for entertainment in general.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can we just touch on Stan Lee's cameo in this movie?
Best cameo yet.
My absolute favorite cameo of Stan Lee.
He's been promoted from bartender in Ant-Man to the
strip club DJ.
To the barker at the strip club.
And I loved it.
He's moved across the bar.
Stan Lee has been promoted, and I absolutely applaud it.
I love how there's almost like a thread. There's a story thread of Stan Lee. If you were to watch them all, there's probably
the ice creamer hot dog vendor in the first X-Men movie.
Yep. And that's probably the and that was filmed in Oakville, where I was living at the time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
And of course, if I had known that Stan Lee was around, I would have probably torn down heaven and earth to find him.
So he's worked his way up from hot dog vendor to strip club DJ.
Well, actually, his first Marvel cameo appearance would have actually been in the 80s.
Gotcha.
I know what it is.
Jury Duty.
On one of those Fantastic Hulk movies.
The jury foreman that was the Daredevil one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Trial of the Incredible Hulk, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was a member of the jury.
Well, then never mind. But I still
I'm coming from watching the yesterday's episode of the O.J.,
Oh, okay.
O.J. Simpson, so that's been my guilty pleasure for the last couple of weeks.
Oh.
So I'm in the courtroom right now.
I like how a lot of the cast in this, though, already have ties to either Marvel or DC Universe.
Well, at this point, you can't swing a dead cat without
an actor
who's worked in some kind of comic book movie.
Well, the actress who played Vanessa did the voice of Talia al Ghul. in Bad Blood and Son of Batman, and she also has done the voice of Gideon in The Flash.
And she's a big part of Gotham right now, too.
Okay. Yeah.
So more of a DC Universe thing.
Right.
Than Marvel, but, I mean...
But still.
People jump back and forth.
It
was interesting that Wise was one of the chiefs of staff in X-Men First Class, and now, of course, he's on Agent Carter as the Roxxon man, so...
Yeah.
There's all sorts of universe jumps, hops. John Favreau was the first Foggy Nelson, remember? Mm-hmm. Now he's Happy Hogan.
Yeah.
And now he's one of the executive producers of Marvel Studios.
Yeah. So that was cool.
That was cool. Going to cut you off there.
No.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll regroup. We'll come back. And we'll chat a little bit more about Deadpool and the gang.
Okay.
All right.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Mostly Comics has been serving the Niagara region for over 30 years. The store sells a variety of comics and entertainment-related products, including graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Mostly also purchases rare comics upon appraisal. Visit Kim and the Gang at 413 St. Paul Street in St. Catharines, or check out their website at www.mostlycomics.com.
You're probably thinking, this was a superhero movie, but that guy in the suit just turned that other guy into a fucking kebab. Surprise! This is a different kind of superhero story. To tell it right, we gotta take you back before I squeeze this ass into spandex.
All right, welcome back to our Deadpool review with the lovely Sarah.
Hello.
And the handsome Agent Daryl.
The always Agent Daryl.
Yeah. Wow. What'd you guys think of the soundtrack?
Loved it.
It was great, yeah. Of course, you know, X gonna bring it to you.
Captain Deadpool.
Captain Deadpool, I love that part. That was great.
I love the montage.
With the graduation of the costumes.
Yeah.
Every superhero has to have that first crappy costume.
Oh, right,
yeah.
That hoodie and a balaclava and then just cutting holes out and then improving upon it.
Yes.
And the white outfit was great.
Yes.
So then, of course, the whole joke at the beginning with why am I wearing red? Because that way bad guys can't see me bleed. And then we actually see him bleeding all over his white shirt. It was great. So then you go with red, obviously.
And his first introduction to Al.
To Blind Al, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie
was great.
She was awesome.
She was wonderful.
I loved her. And the whole IKEA thing.
Yes.
And they have the whole argument about the types of IKEA furniture. And it's...
That whole subplot there was great.
Yeah.
T.J. Miller, of course, as Weasel, was wonderful.
Yes.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead and... Colossus, of course. And nice to see that they actually cut to the X-Mansion for that gratuitous address plate there.
You know what? We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but I had my hopes up for a Hugh Jackman cameo. Like, I know we kind of did.
You kind of got it with the Sexiest Man cover with him.
Yeah.
And
there
then
was
the
his
mask.
And Ryan Reynolds.
And then that wallet that flies open in the beginning fight scene, and you see him as Green Lantern and a card.
Yeah.
But, you know what? Honestly, Wolverine doesn't deserve to be in a Deadpool movie. He has to earn his way into it,
I think, because
Wolverine failed Deadpool.
Yeah.
True.
I think that's what Ryan Reynolds is trying to get across there.
Yeah.
Not that it was Hugh Jackman's fault.
And
they're the best of friends, from what I understand. They're good friends. And, you know, I mean, hey, you know, Ryan Reynolds was there. He did do the project. He attached his name to it, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
He was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they finally got Colossus, right?
I think so, too.
I feel like it was the best portrayal of Colossus in that.
So far, yeah.
It's sort of, it's a bit of a jar, and it doesn't quite jive with what's come, especially even just most recently with Days of Future Past, but...
They tried to get that guy back, I guess.
Everything from 1973 is completely... As far as I'm concerned, everything is... it's out now, and it's up for grabs. So now we're going to have a Warren Worthington III in the 80s instead of in the 2000s like we did in X-Men Last Stand. And there's going to be other things like that. There's going to be obvious changes.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, the same as, you know what, you just have to accept it like Star Trek. And, this is the J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot, it's it's appropriate because I think Bryan Singer really modeled the original first two X-Men movies very much after Star Trek.
Yeah.
The whole mutation thing at the beginning was very much the, you know, space, the final frontier.
Yeah.
I mean, it was modeled and it was a direct homage to Star Trek. To say nothing of the fact that you've got Patrick Stewart as Professor X.
Yeah. That was a good part in the movie, too. I'm taking to the professor. Which one, McAvoy or Stewart? Love that line. Love that line.
Yeah, where like, he just completely steps outside of the universe and he's making fun of it the same as a moviegoer would.
Exactly.
You know, somebody who's really savvy with
And I think that's the great thing about Deadpool is that he knows he's a character.
Yeah, he knows he's in a movie like nobody else does.
Right, like... When he's like...
When Colossus says language, and he says, eat a cock, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, because that's what should have happened in Ultron, you know?
At one point in the movie...
Somebody should have told Cap to eat a cock.
Somebody tells Deadpool, like, asks him, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
And he's like... He's whoever, and he looks at the screen, and it's like... Yeah.
As long as you understand that's what Deadpool is.
Uh-huh.
Like Bugs Bunny. Ain't I a stinker?
So, yeah.
You know, looks at the camera and does the whole, you know, Jim and Pam thing from The Office, you know, the breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint.
All of it.
I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Wolverine.
Yeah.
The action figure was great.
Oh my God.
And he says it's his most prized possession. And I was like...
And I looked online. I never even realized that there was the action figure.
Was there really?
There really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is an actual action figure. It's just it's an awful...
So funny.
Awful sculpt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just these little you know, nuggets of greatness. Like when Wade's at that guy's apartment for the pizza delivery guy and he's wearing a B. Arthur t-shirt. It was like...
Oh, yeah, because Wade is a Golden Girls fan.
Oh, yeah, loves B. Arthur.
Yes,
yeah. B. Arthur all the way.
Golden Girls.
And I was just like, oh, my God.
Probably loves Betty White because she's the only one left by extension, but...
Yeah.
It was always B. Arthur.
Yeah.
He'd yell at the television, B. Arthur, you know.
So, you know, it's just those little things that just really...
And he even makes a crack about having his mouth sewn shut.
Oh, yes.
There was this never-ending jabs at the original. Forcing you to acknowledge it instead of pretending that it wasn't there. And that's the Deadpool way,
too. You can't hide under the covers and pretend it didn't happen because he's going to remind you.
Put a spotlight on it and just rail the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Because it gets laughs.
And, oh, yeah.
And people
and
are
it
like,
did.
Yeah, he's absolutely right.
Yep.
It's true.
And when he called Francis...
Enriches that movie in a way. So now you can go back, you can watch it, and you can Mystery Science Theater it like Deadpool would. You know, you can yell at the screen and say, this sucks, and it's terrible. And you feel confident knowing that Deadpool's with you.
Exactly, yeah. Like when Wade calls Francis Basil Fawlty. I was like, oh my God, this has become my absolute hands-down favorite movie because you're just shouting out things that from other
random things that
from other genres and other shows and such that I am also a
kid's
fan
not going to get, but somebody of a certain age or of a certain worldliness who has, I mean, I'm not going to say a kid's not going to get, there are kids out there who actually do educate themselves about what's happened in the world before 2000.
Yeah.
And bless you kids, really.
Yes. I was one of those kids, because, I mean, I used to watch British comedies like
but, you know, like,
crazy.
Like Negasonic Tori, Teenage Warhead says, God, you're so fucking old.
Yeah.
You know? And we all are, in a way. It's like, oh, God, where did the last 20 years go?
Yeah. So, it's... I love watching it for the... And so many Easter eggs, and it was just fantastic.
So, I was going to talk about what this means in the larger sense as far as movie making. People are saying, James Gunn had mentioned online on his Facebook page and probably on social media all over that he was dreading the amount of Deadpool knockoffs that were going to be just flooding the market now.
We've recently been talking to Jeff from Sketchbook Comics about that, too.
Yeah, I talked to him about it yesterday, too, when I picked up my comics. And, because there are going to be people, there are going to be those executives that take take the wrong lesson from Deadpool and run with that. And I think it's, for the moment anyway, it's the R rating.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's really amazed about, is the fact that it's done so well with an R rating, with people petitioning for a children's version, which I don't even know how you could recut it to be appropriate for kids.
It would be 10 minutes long.
I think that's the whole, you know, screw you kids, you know, you'll get to see it when you're 16 or whatever. When you're old enough, your parents want to break, you know, bend your mind to watch it or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think parents should be held hostage by their children's desires to see a movie. You know, when I was 16, I wanted to go see, what was it, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
Oh,
now, I'd seen the previous two Freddy movies, and they were both AA at the time, and then this one was rated R, and I didn't get to see it. I didn't get to go in to see it. And that's just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out on video 6 months later, I rented it, and I watched it, and that was as simple as that. So if kids want to go to the theater and watch it, tough.
Yeah.
Do it like we did back in the old days. Sneak in. And I think a couple of kids did in the viewing.
I'm nodding my head in agreement, but I took my 15-year-old daughter to see it.
Hey, you know, if you've got a kid who's adult enough and mature enough to be able to process this, great.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've got a 9-year-old and you know...
nine...
And you're going to take him to this movie knowing that it's an R-rated movie and then complain about it afterwards saying, this isn't appropriate for my child.
Tough.
Right. So why did you bring your child?
Exactly.
Because I wanted to see the movie and so did he. Okay then.
Yeah.
You got to see it. You didn't like it?
No. My daughter,
it's not that they didn't like it. I just think it was good for a 9-year-old.
Exactly. My daughter, thankfully, is mature enough.
15's pretty mature.
And yeah, and she does special effects makeup anyway, so all the blood and everything, she was like, I wonder how I can recreate that.
Pretty much from 12 on, I mean, I was okay with most R-rated movies. My parents, I was the last kid too, though. I mean, I pretty much came and went and did as I pleased.
Yeah.
Far more so than my brother or sister. I was the oldest, and I just kind of did what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that golden age where my parents were both working at the time, and so I was able to just basically get away with doing whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
Amazing, my criminal record is greater than it is. My juvenile record, I should say. But I think Deadpool is going to have certain reverberations and ramifications in Hollywood. So the R-rated thing, definitely, and darker toned or more adult-oriented movies.
Yeah.
People say that there's going to be knockoffs and ripoffs and things. And people are already saying that this is already happening. The announcement that there's going to be an R-rated cut of Batman versus Superman.
I think that's ridiculous.
That's kind of jumping on that, but I don't think that's necessarily as a result of Deadpool as it is. It's just, this is organically what's happening. DC is a darker vision than Marvel.
Oh, it has been.
There's probably going to be dark comedy in the Suicide Squad.
Oh, probably,
much like that. It's a bunch of anti-heroes. There's going to be that sort of... It's not going to be Deadpool, but it's not going to be far off. I think it's not going to be outside the realm of possibility to see like an R-rated Batman movie down the line.
Yeah.
We've had plenty of teen-rated movies, and look where that got us.
Yeah, exactly.
The direct that got pushed out in the 90s. That Nolan did a good job of reimagining it. It's very, you know, very sophisticated and intelligent, very adult. Dark Knight itself could almost be, I mean, that's borderline R-rated as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And especially when you start considering, look at the toll it took on Heath Richards.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Heath Richards. Who the hell is Heath Richards?
Cousin to Keith.
Heath Richards. Okay, sure. Heath Ledger, yes. Keith Ledger. Heath Ledger and Heath Richards.
Well, they've already announced there's going to be an R-rated Wolverine, but they're saying they had planned that before Deadpool.
Again, that's Fox and that's Fox Studios, and that's their prerogative. They knew that Deadpool was going to be a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, there was very little studio interference with the making of the movie, and of course, that is usually the best thing when a movie's being made. Too many cooks spoil the broth, you know.
Especially too many cooks that don't know what the heck they're doing.
Exactly. They're just throwing in their two cents because, you know, oh, this worked for somebody else, so we'll try it. And I mean, there's that constant at home. Everybody's just following everybody else, and then somebody does a great thing, and it's, you know, somebody responds to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, Deadpool itself is nothing original. I mean, Deadpool is himself
yeah.
a character that was sort of a parody of a DC character, Deathstroke Terminator, right?
Yep.
Wade Wilson is just a riff on Slade Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whether or not Marvel is doing it right now, trying to sort of get around Fox's licensing or whatever you want to do, their grip on Deadpool and Sony too with Spider-Man,
yeah,
with the creation of Gwenpool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is the status of this particular character? Is this a Marvel character? Is this a character that they would be able to pursue in their cinematic universe, or is a derivative character of? Well, that's the thing. It's a derivative character of both the Spider-Man universe character and Deadpool.
Yeah,
you know, you've got Gwen and Deadpool mashed into one. Makes me wonder whether or not this is like something very deliberately created by Marvel as a fusion of properties that they otherwise wouldn't be able to take advantage of. Technically, this is not Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
Technically, this is no one related to Wade Wilson.
Yeah.
She is a character all her own, related to, of all things, introduced in Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
And for a dollar more, for the privilege to read the story.
Yeah. Now, are you upset that they didn't make Vanessa have mutant powers like she did in the comics?
I don't really know that much about Vanessa.
Okay.
She had mutant powers in the comics. Wasn't she like blue-skinned or something like that? Or am I thinking of a different character?
I think that might be her, with the blue skin.
Check my Deadpool classic here. And, yeah, Vanessa. That's her there.
Oh, wow.
So she was a mutant.
Yes.
Or had something. Well, maybe that's something that they'll explore down the line. His mutation came about from, you know, stress that was imposed upon him.
Some stress.
Which is different from Deadpool, who technically is not a mutant.
He's right.
Given powers, but not technically a mutant. But obviously they're playing a little fast and loose with however this latent mutant gene is brought to the fore. Whatever. They haven't really said how Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver got their powers in Age of Ultron yet.
Yeah.
They're not mutants, but are they Inhumans? Were they just simply powered by the Infinity Gem in Loki's staff? Who knows?
Yeah.
Until we get Strucker's files, we'll never know.
Yeah.
And then there's the fact that they were building a robot at the time, too. So there's things in Age of Ultron that don't completely add up. Part of the problem why.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason why I have a problem with it. I guess Vanessa, is a character that I don't really know all that much about. Because Deadpool's had a number of loves over the years.
Yep, including...
And with the mention of Cable coming out, that's sort of his, that's his other big, his great romance. It's Nathan and Wade and their adventures together.
Well, he is married to that demon lady right now in the comics.
And this is Deadpool, yeah.
And this is Deadpool, yeah.
She's referred to at the Secret Wars thing, yeah. But in the past, there's been, what's her name? I think it was some girl with a cowboy hat. I can't remember off the top of my head. It was during the Cable Deadpool run. He's had, I think it was in the Wedding of Deadpool. They had they sort of had a retrospective of all his great loves since his first appearances.
And I can't remember, I read that one, I can't remember.
All right, let's take our last break.
Okay.
We'll come back, we'll have our final thoughts, and I think all three of us should rated out of 5.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Looking for a new comic book reading experience? Found it. Studio Comics. Led by Alfonso Espinoz, Studio Comics has a variety of talented artists and writers bringing tales of crystal skulls, circus freaks, and misunderstood superheroes. Check out their website at studiocomics.com. That's studio, C-O-M-I-X.com. And you can purchase their comics at better comic book shops near you.
We can't allow this, Deadpool.
I don't have time for your X-Men bullshit, Colossus.
Besides, nobody's getting hurt.
That guy was up there before we got here.
Knock, knock. All right, welcome back to the Deadpool review with the wonderful Agent Daryl and the astonishing Sarah Tellier.
Ha 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 ha.
So we've just been chatting about Deadpool and what we thought about the movie. You know what I liked about the movie? It was the origin, but they kind of mixed it in throughout the whole movie instead of throwing it right at you at the beginning.
I love the flashback sequences,
yeah.
The way that the entire movie was... The first half of the movie takes place on on that that overpass there at the freeway. And then there's all these intercut flashbacks. And it was great. It really made the movie feel meatier than it actually was. There wasn't a whole lot from... I mean, without the flashbacks, there's really not a whole lot from point A to point B, except that, you know, Colossus and Negasonic show up. And, well, basically, he cuts his hand off, makes his escape, which was great.
After he broke them, punching Colossus.
And then we get to see it grow back slowly and quite small, and much to Deadpool's delight.
Yes.
Feels so huge in this hand.
Wow.
Well, that's when he cuts his hand off, he's like, "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret."
Yep.
It was from a Judy Blume book.
Yeah, exactly.
About a girl... like asking, "Are you there, guys?" We married about her first period, so
the,
he references that
significant loss of blood.
Yeah.
I see.
So bad, but so
yeah.
Good.
And then what? Colossus and Negasonic take off,
yeah.
And then what? He goes back to Blind Al's.
Yeah.
And then what? Yeah, there's really just a whole lot of intercut. It's basically getting to know Deadpool.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happened, and this is, you know, the flashbacks and how they came about. I mean, you're focusing in on the Deadpool figure from X-Men Origins Wolverine, and you're thinking, oh, God, what are they going to do? And, of course, they go someplace completely different.
Oh, yeah. And
they go to Wham, and they've earned that exclamation mark.
The Wham, exactly, yeah.
They really did earn that.
What?
The Say Anything reference to the boombox.
Yeah.
No, that's great. That's... John Cusack.
All the Canada
wonderful.
References.
Well,
like when he punches Colossus and he's like, "Oh, Canada." I was like, nice. Or Regina, the word that, you know,
the town that
rhymes
with Regina.
Yeah. And I was like, God. Like so many little
It's
tidbits.
Exactly, yeah. I can't wait till it comes out on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be dissecting it the same as I do every Marvel movie.
Yeah.
More so because this is the first Fox movie that's really brought me back. And I mentioned earlier while we were off between breaks that technically I did go see Fantastic Four in the theater. But this is the first X-Men themed movie that I've seen in the theater since Last Stand.
Really? Not even Days of Future Past?
No. I did not see that one in the theater. I waited until it came out on Blu-ray. Rented it actually when it came out, and I was like, "Yeah, it's okay." And then Nikki got it for me for Christmas, and I was like, "Oh, why'd you do that? The Rogue Cuts comes out in a couple of months. I would have gotten that one instead, because that one actually has both versions and the features."
Right.
But then after seeing the Rogue Cut,
wasn't that great?
I'm not missing anything, so you know, I mean, maybe there's some cool features on the disc, but nothing that I need to see.
Yeah.
And I've always been more Marvel Cinematic Universe than just the X-Men universe. And I don't know, it's the playground that I prefer. It'd be great if it was all unified, of course.
Yeah.
I know that you're not excited about Spider-Man.
I am not.
MCU.
I am not, sir.
But it's not about Spider-Man. It's about the cohesiveness of it. The reason people are excited is because he's coming home.
Yeah.
I don't need to see another Spider-Man movie, but I wouldn't mind seeing Spider-Man swing through in another movie. And that's the thing. I mean, finally, they can play together.
Yeah.
That's what people are excited about. And it's not just Spider-Man. It's also all the characters that come with him. And a lot of them that have not even been tapped in the movies yet. There's so much stuff in the Spider-Man universe that can be touched upon. We may actually get a Spider-Gwen at some point. Who knows? I think they'd be foolish not to do it, but I don't know. That's between them and Sony, I guess. Hopefully, we'll see some thawing between the Fox and Disney camps, and we'll see some more progress towards unification there too.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice to see all these universes coming together.
I would love it, because now the rumor has it that Wolverine 3 is going to be based on Old Man Logan.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
And that's what they've been saying for. I mean, that's been. Basically what's
but the Hulk and Hawkeye were big parts of that story.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to do without them.
Yeah. I think that you can easily recast the Hulk with the Beast, because the Beast is basically being depicted as the X-Men universe's Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
He
That's
loses
true.
Control and he beasts out. He's just like the Hulk.
True, yeah.
True.
So bring in Kelsey Grammer.
Yes.
And have him be a very sinister, evil beast.
I think
you know?
He could do
maybe
it
not
too.
The what are they, the mutant cannibals or whatever they are.
Yeah,
I think there will be some artistic licenses. It's not going to be a straight up. I mean, that's what you have to understand. It's like Days of Future Past was not a straight up adaptation of the comic storyline.
Yeah.
The Last Stand was anything but a proper Phoenix story.
God, no.
Yeah.
You know, even X-Men Origins just barely paid lip service to, you know, the original Origins stuff, just because of the whole James thing and that. So I wouldn't expect Old Man Logan to be exactly as it is in the comics, but it will hopefully embody the tone.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have that elderly Wolverine. And essentially, that's what we've seen. You know, I mean, when does the end of Days of Future Past take place? Sometime in the future. It's got that little holographic thing on his, on his alarm clock there. So, I mean, it's sometime in the foreseeable future, but that's always what it was with X-Men. It's sometime in the not-too-distant future. So this is going to be obviously way after that.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens after the fallout of Apocalypse? You know, we know that the timeline has adjusted at one point after Days of Future Past. Apocalypse, you know, what the events taking place in Apocalypse may do something to cause Old Man Logan to happen.
Yeah,
maybe.
Or reset to something pre Days of Future Past. Obviously, we're not going to go back and we're going to rehash Last Stand or X-Men Origins Wolverine, but the whole point was to wipe it clear so that they could tell another story, and the possibility of wiping it clear again is always there. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Apocalypse, let's face it, a lot of people do not like his look. And I don't really know what to say about it. I mean, it's kind of cool when he's getting all big stuff there, holding down Professor X in that one shot in the trailer, but I don't know. It's hard to say.
True. So we should rate these. We should all
rate the
movie. Rate the Deadpool movie.
Out of 5.
Edit. Out of 5. So
all right.
What are you going to give it?
I'm giving Deadpool 5 out of 5 kebabs or bullets up Main Street.
Daryl?
I am giving it, I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 fingers on his severed hand.
You bastard. That's what I was going to say.
Sorry about that.
No, I actually had written here 5 out of 5, cut off hand showing the middle finger.
There you go.
But great minds think alike.
Oh, yeah. Fool's something different.
All right. so I guess we're all in grids. We love Deadpool.
Yes.
That's great. I'm looking forward to another one, whether it'll be called Deadpool 2 or Deadpool and Cable or Deadpool versus Wolverine or Deadpool Kills the Universe. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. So
only time will tell.
I mean, as far as
X-Force is something else that's also being tossed around. It's only a matter of time, I'm sure, before somebody makes an excuse to make an X-Factor movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
what else?
As far as Marvel-type movies go, we have 3 more coming out this year.
Yes.
Civil War, Doctor Strange, and X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all of them.
We're about 2 months away from Civil War, actually.
Plus, we've got Daredevil coming out.
Yeah. Yes.
There's the announcement of Marvel's Most Wanted, which we probably won't see until next year. It looks like that's probably going to replace Agent Carter, as it sounds like there's not going to be another season of that.
Aww.
Luke Cage is going to be this year, too.
Luke Cage.
Second season
and
of Jessica
sure
Jones
by the
has
time,
been announced.
So and that's probably going to come after Defenders, I think.
Yeah.
But I think by the time Luke Cage comes out, we'll probably have casting information for Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So we should at least have our core Defenders.
Yeah.
We'll know who they are. He's the last one standing, I guess. We got an early peek at Luke Cage. You know,
yeah.
We were lucky enough to have him be part of Jessica Jones. Luke Cage's story is obviously going to be the Luke Cage wrongful imprisonment story, which is the quintessential Luke Cage story. But he's already got the invulnerable skin, so where do you go from there? I don't know. But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we'll see him in Supermax. That was something that in Jessica Jones that I thought was really intriguing. That episode where she talks about, you know, she's a top shelf pervert.
Yeah.
Supermax, yeah. I think, hopefully we'll see more of that. Maybe even in Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about.
Here's Wilson Fisk.
We're about a month away from Daredevil, aren't we?
Last season, I think,
yeah. Yeah.
It comes out, the same week or the week before Superman Batman?
I think the same day.
Ah, so they're basically.
Yeah.
Going head to head there.
Saw my first picture of Elektra yesterday, actually, and she looks pretty badass.
Yeah, that's right. The new trailer. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen the new trailer because they had a poster.
There's the first trailer, the Punisher trailer. I think there's an Elektra trailer. I think it's up. I'll probably watch it when it's tonight. So lots to look forward to this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ghostbusters is coming out.
Yep.
So yes, we have to do more reviews this year.
Oh, yes, we do.
Not screw the pooch, as Deadpool might say.
Right. No, he'd say it a little bit raunchier than that.
Definitely got to get together and do another Make My Marvel movies, because I've got some thoughts. I've actually got notes here about some stuff. I was actually talking to Terry earlier, being a Black Widow fan that she is. I was suggesting that perhaps Hope Van Dyne, who we will expect to see as the Wasp in the next Ant-Man and Wasp movie, I have a feeling that she was trained in the Red Ring as a child.
Oh.
Yeah, based on some of the little clues dropped in the movie.
Yeah.
About when her mother died and what she was going through at the time and at that time of times and places around that time. And I think because the Pym Van Dynes there were doing a lot of stuff behind the Iron Curtain. I recently watched Salt.
Oh yeah.
And Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And I was stunned at how perfect the Black Widow movie is. Watch it again and think about the Black Widow throughout. There are scenes where she appears to have been trained in something very much like the Red Room. She even uses the venom from a Black Widow spider at one point. So, I mean, it's almost as if it was meant to be in every possible way. It feels like a Black Widow movie. Watch it. Watch Winter Soldier. And maybe you'll get what I'm talking about there. I definitely recommend it.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, we've run out of time for the review.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll be back with a Superman-Batman review next month.
Absolutely.
And
more Daredevil Season 2.
More Make Mine Marvel movies coming from me and Agent Darryl.
Yes.
All right, everybody.
Look forward to it.
Excelsior.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.